Good morning, ladies. Thank you all for coming. I'm excited to be up here, and by excited, I mean kind of terrified. But really, thank you so much to all of you that have said you've been praying for me. This has gone much more easily, and I've been much more calm than I would have been otherwise. I'm going to be sharing with you ladies how God has worked in my life to bring me to salvation and make me new, like our theme verse says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. And also how he's been working in my life since. I was born as Jennifer Ann Spradlin on February 22nd, 1981, in Cozad, Nebraska. For those unfamiliar, Cozad is about 200 miles west of here along Interstate 80. Our house where my parents still live is about 9 miles northeast of town. And I actually grew up in the same house that my dad grew up in. It's kind of fun to hear stories about what it was like when he grew up there. I loved living in the country. I wish I could move out again someday, hopefully, Lord willing. It's so peaceful and quiet. I spent a lot of time outside when I was little. I was kind of a tomboy. I would go playing with our dog DJ or help my dad irrigating. My parents are farmers. They farm corn, soybeans, and some wheat. When I was really young, they had hogs. My job was to feed the little baby pigs, and they were really cute. My brother and I would sometimes play in the big pig pen until the day that one of the pigs must have got mad and bit at me. And then as I was running away, climbing over the fence, I got shocked by the electric fence. So I kind of left him alone after that. I have one brother. He's about 3.5 years older than me. His name is Brian. They live in Kearney right now, him and his wife. I would follow him around a lot. He was a really good big brother. For kindergarten through fifth grade, I went to a tiny little country school north of town. It was a small little two-room schoolhouse with a downstairs for the lower grades and an upstairs for the older grades. There were two kids in my class, me and one other girl. So she was my default best friend for most of elementary school. She is a believer now, so it's fun to kind of have a new relationship with her and have a friendship still. Then I went to middle school and high school in Cozad and had a slightly larger class of like 50 or 60 kids, which is small compared to here. But it was big for me. Middle school was a tough transition. I went from being pretty sheltered in my little country school to a school in town with mostly kids I didn't know. There were a lot of kids in my class that were kind of mean, got made fun of, but high school was better. I enjoyed it for the most part. Still, I wasn't part of the popular crowd ever, which is what I wished. I always wished I could be part of the popular crowd, but they were usually the ones that were out smoking and drinking. So looking back now, I'm glad that God protected me from that. I was raised going to the Catholic Church. I basically believed that if you were a good person and believed in God, you were a Christian. I never felt like I had a really clear idea of how to get to heaven or how to be sure you would get to heaven, but I didn't really think about it too much. I figured I was good enough. I was a typical good kid. I didn't get into a lot of trouble. Around the time I started high school, I began to think more about churches. Why did we go to the church we went to? There are so many different types of churches. Why do they all believe slightly different things? How can we know what the truth is? Well, God started putting me in situations where I began to see that God has given us truth, and it's found in the Bible. Late in high school, I started going to Bible studies and sometimes church with a couple friends of mine, Ben and Becca. Their dad was a pastor at a small Bible church in Cozad. I first became friends with them in middle school, but then they were homeschooled during high school, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of homeschooling. Our parents would go on motorcycle rides together on Friday nights, and we would just hang out. But it was then that I started learning about what the Bible says. I was amazed to hear that the Bible says how you can actually be saved. The first thing I had to understand more fully was sin. Growing up in the Catholic Church, I didn't think too much about sin. Not on a daily basis, anyway. Again, if I went to church, didn't do anything too bad, I'd probably be okay since I was mostly a good person. I remember going into confession and was nervous because I couldn't think of what I was supposed to confess. I really didn't know what sin was. except murdering and stealing and those types of things. I especially didn't know what the Bible said about it. So it was an eye-opener when I learned what the Bible says about sin. Passages like Galatians 5:19 and 1 Timothy 1:10 explain sin as things like lying, jealousy, envying, outbursts of anger, obviously stealing and murder. Then the Bible says there is none righteous, not even one, in Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. I was learning that I was a sinner, and sin is a big deal. What might seem like little things like lying and jealousy are sins, and they're a big deal because they separated me from God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So death was the penalty or punishment for my sins, and not just physical death, but separation from God for eternity in hell. That's not a place I wanted to be, so what could be done? Well, Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I started to understand why Jesus died, what the significance was. I grew up knowing about Jesus dying on the cross. I would see the pictures and statues of Jesus nailed to the cross everywhere. But I didn't really understand why or think about why. Well, the Bible told me that he died to pay the penalty, which is death, for my sins, so I could spend eternity with him if I would put my trust in him. As one of the most well-known verses in the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life." John 3:16. God didn't have to send his Son to the earth to die a horrible death on a cross, but he did because he loves us. And he didn't stay dead, he was raised. He defeated death, his work is done. All I had to do was believe and put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I could have eternal life. Like Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And Romans 10:9, "that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." God was showing me that I couldn't earn salvation by being a good person. In fact, the Bible says that all your works are like filthy rags. I was learning that no matter how good I thought I was, I could not earn my way into heaven. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So I was learning more and more about what the Bible says about salvation and why Jesus came to the earth to die, but I had yet to really apply it to my life. I love when I hear other people give their testimony and they have this moment when they know that they became saved. Well, I don't really have that moment. I do know, though, at that point in my life, I was more interested in a relationship with a boy than a relationship with God. My friend Ben and I had started dating at the end of my junior year of high school. He was a believer, so I was more just going through the motions. After I graduated high school, I had this amazing opportunity to go to Tasmania, Australia for 3 months. My mom's cousin, Barb, had met this Tasmanian guy named Rusty, and they ended up getting married. He would come back to the States with her and visit us, and he kind of became like an uncle to me. We'd write letters back and forth, and I was always really interested in learning about Tasmania and hoping I could visit someday. My parents generously allowed me to go there after I graduated high school. There was a lot of downtime. I mostly just kind of lived there and went wherever Barb went. A few of my favorite things I did there were horseback riding and seeing the beach, seeing the ocean for the first time, and touring a Cadbury chocolate factory, seeing the wildlife, the Tasmanian devils, wombats, platypus. My least favorite, though, were the spiders that could be huge. My most favorite thing of all was taking care of the orphaned wallabies. Wallabies are miniature kangaroos. The little baby ones are about this big. They'd raise up the little baby ones who had lost their mom until they could be let back out into the wild. We'd bottle feed them and take them with us everywhere in these big pouches filled with soft fabric for them to snuggle down into. They were pretty cute. but the course of how I thought my life would go changed while I was there. Ben and I had gotten engaged the summer before I left for Australia, so I thought I'd come home and start planning a wedding. But he broke up with me while I was there via email. It was so sudden and out of the blue, I had no idea he was planning on breaking up with me. And there may have been other reasons, but what I know now and what he said at the time is that he was a believer and I was not. He should not have been dating me in the first place. It was a pretty tough time, and it took me quite a while to get over that relationship still. I headed back home from Tasmania in December and got ready to start college. These next couple years, God really began to show me that I just needed to trust in him, that he did have a plan for my life, and it was better than what I thought I wanted. Growing up, I always had this view of God as kind of up there, untouchable, impersonal. So I was finally starting to see God, Jesus, as personal. He was softening my heart. I read Psalm 139, and those became some of my favorite verses. 1 and 2 say, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." 15 and 16 say, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." It was around that time that I believe I truly became saved. I was reading God's word more and asking him to help me believe that all I needed was him. So in January of 2000, I started college at Central Community College in Hastings. At that point in my life, I was feeling pretty alone. My fiancé boyfriend had broken up with me, who had been my best friend for the last 2 or 3 years, and I was nervous about starting school in a new town where I didn't know anyone. But finally, I wasn't just living for myself, doing whatever I thought would make me happy. I had been changed. The Lord gave me a joy and a peace that I didn't have before. I was a new creature, like our verse says. I was wanting to live my life to please God, to learn about his will for my life, what he wants me to do, and try to do it. I knew that God was in control, and I could rest in knowing that my future was in his hands. I moved into the dorms in Hastings and ended up living right next door to this girl who was a believer. We became good friends, and she was a huge blessing and encouragement to me. Her name was Melissa Glaze, now known as Melissa Glenn. We discovered that we actually grew up only a couple miles away from each other but had never met because she went to school in Lexington and I went to school in Cozad. God had provided just the friend I had needed, and I love that I still get to be friends with her now. We were both planning to eventually move to Lincoln and finish school at UNL, so we made a plan that we would be roommates in Lincoln once I finished another year in Hastings. I was really excited to move to Lincoln. I had visited the Alpha Omega group a couple times, and I loved it. I loved the people, and I felt right at home. It was the first time in my life I had ever had that many genuine friends. Everyone was so nice. Indian Hills was great, coming from a background of never having read the Bible before high school anyway. This was the perfect place for me. The in-depth teaching of the Bible was exactly what I needed. In August of 2001, I moved to Lincoln and lived with Melissa and another friend. Melissa went off and got married a couple months later, and our other roommate, Amber, was sure I would soon meet a guy and get married because that's what had happened to her previous, like, 8 or 9 roommates in a row. But I was doubtful. I was actually really content with where I was, going to school and just enjoying hanging out with all my new friends, going to Bible studies. But then I met Aaron Huff. I was first introduced to him one Sunday night at church. I didn't really think much of it. He was handsome and seemed nice, but evidently he had taken notice of me. He came up and started talking to me one Friday night at Bible study. I really liked his smile. He was fun to talk to. He likes to talk, and I like to listen. I remember the main topic of our first conversation was about swing dancing. I told him how I like to go swing dancing, and he said one of his favorite movies was Swingers. We should watch it sometime. Well, the movie turned out to be a total guy movie that has absolutely nothing to do with swing dancing, maybe 2 minutes at the end. But I really liked him, so we were married about a year later here at Indian Hills on October 26, 2002. That was 13 years ago yesterday. We both adjusted to married life pretty quickly and easily. Being with him just felt like I was home. I'm so thankful God has blessed me with such a hardworking and loving husband. And I couldn't have married into a better family. They're amazing. When we were first married, Aaron and I enjoyed traveling and had the chance to go on some really fun trips on Aaron's motorcycle. Riding on a motorcycle was pretty natural for me. I grew up around them. It's not always the most comfortable, but it's fun. When I was little, I would ride around those little mini motorcycles and four-wheelers around the farm, and my dad loves riding motorcycles. So Aaron and I rode all around Colorado one summer, and another summer we went with my dad to Sturgis, although we were mostly there just to see the sights in South Dakota. We only maybe spent a couple hours in Sturgis itself. We hauled the bike to Arkansas while my sister-in-law and her husband lived there. Another time, we hauled it to Phoenix, where my parents go in the winter, and rode around to different places with my dad. Then we decided it would be fun to go visit Milwaukee, where Harley-Davidson started, and that, unfortunately, was our last motorcycle trip. On the last day we were there, we wanted to make one last stop at this custard place that I just had to try. It was kind of a misty, wet day, and just as we were about there, the light at the intersection turns yellow, and a car coming from the opposite direction turns right in front of us, crossing our lane. We couldn't stop in time because the ground was so wet. So Aaron laid the bike down so we wouldn't collide with the car, and we go sliding across the pavement. Praise God that we had on full leather gear, plus our rain gear, and of course our helmets, even though Wisconsin does not have a helmet law. It's a good thing we had them on because my helmet had a big scratch right here on the side where it had slid across the pavement. We took a ride in the ambulance to the hospital to get checked out, but amazingly, we just had bruises. Aaron had a large, rather large bruise on his leg and couldn't walk very well, plus he was on pain medication. The bike was not drivable, so we rented a car to drive home. Thank goodness, because I was not ready to get back on that bike. I love, though, that I can look back and see how perfectly God worked in our lives to bring us where he wants us to be, especially with that accident. We had been thinking about starting a family, and a motorcycle isn't very practical. If we were just to sell the motorcycle, we wouldn't get as much money for it. But because it had been totaled in the accident, we were able to get the full value back for it, which we used as part of a down payment for a house that was just the right size for a family. And in April of that next spring, 2008, our first son, Samuel, was born. Becoming a mom was a huge adjustment for me. It's a big responsibility, but I love it so much. It's what I've always wanted to do. I went from working full-time, I worked at Lincoln Benefit Life for 5 years, to staying home full-time with this baby that I didn't know the first thing about how to take care of. I hadn't even changed a diaper before. But I eventually got the hang of it, and we got into a routine. I loved that I was able to come to Our Lady's Titus Tuesday Bible studies. I loved the much-needed encouragement from my daily walk and the fellowship with other believers, some of whom were also sleep-deprived moms who just needed a couple hours to sit down. I was blessed with two more sweet little boys. Gabriel was born in February of 2010, and Judah was born in September of 2011. They're all boy, and it takes all my energy most days to keep up with them. God gives me daily opportunities to practice patience and forgiveness, and mostly to show them love and try to be a reflection of him. That's what I want my kids to see in me. It's such a privilege and my most important job to teach them about Jesus and his sacrifice of laying down his life for their sins. And ultimately, their salvation is in God's hands, and so are their lives. I remind myself every day to hold them with an open hand and just trust God with their safety, because he is in control. Amazingly, I have three boys, and so far no one has broken a bone. I hope I can say my story is to be continued. I have so much growing and learning still to do. My desire, though, is to live my life in a way that honors and glorifies God. I pray that He gives me wisdom and strength to handle the situations and trials that He brings into my life. I want my relationship with Him to continue to grow, and I look forward to seeing what He has in store for me. I'm also excited to have this new opportunity to serve in our church as Tammy and I do our best to make these events fun, but most of all, glorifying to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful fall morning. Thank you for all the ladies that were able to come today, and for all the ladies that put so much time and effort into making this morning run. Thank you most of all for your gift of salvation. I pray if anyone here does not know you, Lord, that they would come to trust you today. Be with us the rest of the day and this week, and I pray that everything we do would be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen.